At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
A warm up for the Evo. Welcome to Bluffy Las Vegas for Ghost of Ghost Soups with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. We've got a tremendous podcast for you as we're going to be joined in segment number two by Matt Josephs. You may know him better as Mid-Major Matt. He does a great job over at ESPN Radio out in the city of Richmond, Virginia. I know that he does great work with Athlon Sports, taking a look at college football and so much more. He's going to be joining me to take a look at what we've all gotten in the offseason with a few teams in VCU along with Penn State, with them having some coaching regime changes, the way that they've been able to overturn their rosters, what he's expecting out of those teams. We're going to ask a little bit of a philosophical question about taking a look at teams that they've got a very distinct style going into a conference in which a lot of teams, they play a very similar style and they're looking to sort of zag as everyone else zigs. Example, a slow conference of teams. You have one team that plays super duper up tempo, so that's a little bit of an example there. We're also going to be taking a look at some of the impactful NBA draft decisions, as feels like right now we're in a little bit of a holding pattern with regards to some of the news on the transfer front, because a lot of these teams, they are trying to leave a spot open for perhaps a guy that is in the NBA draft to return slash try to pick up someone that withdraws from the NBA draft as well, which is why I'm going to be doing the news and notes of college basketball here in segment number one, just because they are a little bit more limited, and I do think that that is going to be the case really for the next 2 weeks before we get a big giant wave number two with regards to the transfer portal. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And we did see quite a few guys make moves on Tuesday, as Zion Poland, he decided that he was going to be entering into the transfer portal. Now, I know that there was the deadline to enter into the transfer portal of Thursday of last week, so I'm very curious as to how this is going to be handled, because I know that there might be a few guys that they enter a little bit late, because I do think that there's like a 48-hour window or something like that for teams to be able to put in the guy's name, because if a guy decided like on that Thursday that he wanted to declare for the transfer portal or anything like that, it just sometimes takes a little bit of time for the paperwork to get done, things of that nature. And I mean, there's really been nothing to indicate that there is going to be actual sanctions for these guys that they enter into the transfer portal late. We shall see what the NCAA does. I'm sure that there will be something brought down on the school that brings in someone like Zion Poland in like the year 2038 or something like that. But that said, Zion Poland decided that he was going to be entering into the transfer portal. This is a big ad. As long as he's available for the next season, he's one of the hottest names out there in the transfer portal now. As he averaged last season at UC Riverside, a little bit over 18 points, 4 assists, a steal per contest, shooting 39.4% from 3-point range. I mean, this guy is absolutely excelente, so I'm very curious to see what we are going to be getting on that front. And it's going to be a very big case study, because I mean, if the NCAA allows him to be eligible to play immediately, I think that there might be more and more guys that they do enter into the transfer portal. We saw Antoine Butler, who was last playing at NJIT, missed last season just due to some off-the-court things. He was a little bit banged up. He decided that he is going to be going down to Rowan University. And This is very easy for your handicap. All you need to note is that Mr. Antoine Butler, he was at the D1 level. He decided that he is going to be going down, and he is going to be at the non-D1 level. So you're able to cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and move on. But with Antoine Butler, he was actually a halfway decent player when he was over at NJIT. Had a year off last season, but I mean, he was a guy that 2 seasons ago was putting up right around 8 points per contest, shot 33% from three, doled out 2.7 assists, a little bit over a steal and a half per contest, 4 rebounds per game. So that's actually a little bit of an impact guy. So good on Rowan University for being able to get him in. And something that we've been noticing more in the transfer portal in the last few years is when a guy just sort of crashes and burns at a school, he decides that he is going to be going back to where he came. And in this case, it's Tanner Holden. He had great success at Wright State 2 years ago, 2021-22 season. 20 points, 7 boards, 2.5 assists, shot about 34% from three-point range. He goes to Iowa State this season, big giant buss-a-rooney. He actually shoots 50% from three-point range, but most of that is because he just really didn't take a lot of threes to start out with, as he's attempting half a three per contest, 3.5 points, 2.5 boards. Saw his minutes go from north of 35 per contest at Wright State down to 13.5 this past season. And guess where he's going back to? You guessed it. He's going back to Appy. He is going back to Wright State. So we are seeing the latest of this trend starting to take hold. Luat Mayang, he was playing this last season over at Hofstra. He has decided that he is going to be going to Valparaiso. And with Mayang, he just was unable to get out there on the floor this last season, but he was a relatively highly touted guy. He was the number 50 rated center by 247 Sports for the class of 2022, a guy that was in the top 10 in terms of New Jersey sort of freshman, and I do think that he could be an impact guy for Valparaiso. They were just not good on the glass, to say the least, with Valparaiso. They also do need some three-point shooting, so Valparaiso just really needs a little bit of everything. Ever since they've entered into the Missouri Valley Conference, it has not been terrific for them, to say the least, but I mean, bringing in someone like a Mayong, who I do think has quite a bit of upside, I think that's a good place for them to be able to start. We saw DeAnthony Tipler decide that he was going to be going from East Tennessee State, and he is going to be heading on over to UT Rio Grande Valley as well. This is big, as he began his career at Coastal Carolina and has always been a solid three-point shooter. Defense has left a little bit of something to be desired, and when it comes to UT Rio Grande Valley, they are going to be looking to turn over a new leaf with regards to that defense. But during the 2022-23 season at ETSU, averaged 10.5 points, shot 38% from three, registered a little bit over a steal per contest, and then during the 2020-21 season at Coastal Carolina, 13.5 points per game on 41% three-point shooting. Now, with Tipler, he did see a little bit of a dip in his numbers towards back half of the season this last year, just because he was dealing with quite a few injuries, was limited to fewer than 25 games this past season. But when he was out there on firing all cylinders towards the beginning part of the season, he was very rock solid, as he had just 23 points in his final 5 games of the season. Prior to that, he was averaging 12-plus points per contest. So I think that this is a good add for UT Rio Grande Valley team that's looking to turn over a little bit of a new leaf. They were more competitive towards back half of last season. This happened just after we got off the line with our good friend Mid-Major Matt. I know that he is out there in the Richmond area, so I'm sure that he is happy about this one. Delani Hunt, Elias here, was playing at Wagner. He has decided that he is going to be transferring to Richmond, and with Richmond, they are going through some transition, as they did lose Jason Nelson from that backcourt during the offseason, but I think that this is a perfect replacement for him. He was a part of a Wagner team that was one of the best mid-major defenses in all of college basketball. Leaves something to be desired in terms of his overall shooting, but 11 points, 2.7 assists, a little bit over a steal per contest, good on-ball defender. I think that he is going to be very good in this Richmond system, so I do like that move. And then we saw Tim Caesar. I don't think that he's going to be serving up any sal, but he is probably going to be serving up some blocks and some points, and he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to UNC Greensboro with Caesar. Last season, he was a nice little role player for Utah Valley. Actually began his career at Coastal Carolina. Was able to give the team 4 points, 3.5 boards, right around a block per contest. Capable of shooting three. Shot 29% from three as a 6'9", little bit of a combo player. He's heading on over to UNC Greensboro. He's a part of a Utah Valley team that played at one of the better defenses in all of college basketball. basketball. Greensboro, a little bit of a slower team, but they needed a little bit more depth down low. I think that this makes all the sense in the world for them, and I think that this is going to be of a big impact for them. And what else I think is of impact is that we did see a few NBA draft decisions happen, as well as we saw Tyrese Radford decide that he is going to be returning to Texas A&M. This is big for them, as for Radford, he last season at Texas A&M gave the team 13.5 points, a little bit over 5 boards, right around 2.5 assists. Shot only about 31.5% for 3 the previous season. Shot more around 40% from 3-point range. But Texas A&M, very much a team that is built around having some rock-solid depth. And I do think that him coming back to the fold with Buzz Williams, who was able to have some great success towards the back half last season, I think the things are going to be going well for them. This one, not so much of a surprise, but you know what? It is going to be helping out the team regardless. Rob Perry, he had decided that he was going to be entering his name in for the NBA draft, but he's going to be returning to Murray State. Last season at Murray State, had some nice numbers, 14.5 points, 4.8 boards, from 3-point range shots, just 34.5% from 3 when he was at Stetson, which was his previous stop before Murray State. Shot 38.5% from 3-point range, 6'4", a little bit of a muscular guard. I do think that him returning to Murray State, that is going to be of impact. Was wondering if he was going to try to enter into the transfer portal as well, because with him, it is a case where he is with a Murray State program that had a little bit of a rough go of it year number one, because now they're in the Missouri Valley Conference. If they were still in the Ohio Valley Conference, I mean, they'd be picking up very easy wins on the regular. But that said, I do think that Murray State looking to build something under Steve Prohm once again, and them being able to get back Rob Perry, that is big. And we saw late on Wednesday as well, Caleb Love, who had decided that he was going to be going to Michigan. He is reopening up his recruitment. He is back in the transfer portal. I'm not necessarily sure how this works, but I mean, with Caleb Love, he was averaging 16.5 points, 3.5 boards, 2.8 assists. Shot a paltry 30% from 3 last season. Obviously a very ball-dominant player, but was a big cog for a team that during the 2021 NCAA tournament was able to make a national title run, had the ball in his hands a lot. For Michigan, this is just absolutely devastating, because they were looking to build their offense around Caleb Love. And I just don't know how this works, because the transfer portal apparently closed up on Thursday. Now Caleb Love, who had entered in the transfer portal, decided to go to Michigan. He's back out there on the open market. So we've got a lot of intrigue there, and it is going to be very interesting to see the ripple effects of this. I'm going to need to try to get on a guess or two to see what happens with the Caleb Love situation. If he's eligible to play next season, maybe he enters into the NBA draft, or maybe we just find ourselves in sort of the twilight zone of college basketball. But what I do know is that coming up next, we are going to have a good chat with Matt Josephs. You know him better as Mid-Major Matt. He does an incredible job on so many different fronts, whether that be MLB player props, college basketball, college football, list goes on and on. And we're going to be talking about what we've all seen this offseason with him. Any features that he perhaps likes, taking a look at some of these mid-major teams that have went a little bit under the radar with their transfer hauls this offseason, and so much more. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Las Vegas for Jessica Zeus with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this fan as we got mid-major Matt Joseph's aboard. He does a tremendous job handicapping a little bit of everything. When it comes to more of the wagers that he's placing this time of year, I know that he's doing a great job in the MLB prop market. On top of that, when it comes to college basketball, his name is mid-major Matt, so you can expect a whole bunch of plays out there in the ACC, but along with that, a whole bunch of mid-major plays, as well as this man does a tremendous job taking a look at the game of college basketball. I know he also does a great job with his show out there for the ESPN radio affiliate out in Richmond as well, called Border to Border. And to be able to follow mid-major Matt on Twitter, that is at mid-major Matt altogether. And it's always a pleasure to have you aboard, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you, as always, for having me. I feel like this is one of the hotbeds of the transfer portal here with what VCU has done so far this offseason.
Yeah, it has been interesting to see what we've gotten really in the state of Virginia, because there's been quite a few moves made by VCU because, well, when you have a coaching change, that is always going to be causing for a lot of movement. And how do you gauge some of these teams like a VCU, like, for instance, a Penn State? Because Mike Rhodes, as we know, he went from VCU, he goes over to Penn State. How do you gauge these teams that they hire on a new coach, and thus they have to pretty much overhaul the roster?
I mean, look, whenever you look at a school like VCU, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, the fans were disappointed to see him leave. He's going back home, or at least towards his area. He's going to the Big Ten. So I think you can understand, although the fans were still very frustrated by it, but they upgraded. I mean, Ryan Odom is fantastic. And, you know, when you see the unfortunate exodus that came of VCU, when you see an Ace Baldwin leave, when you see some of these other guys go, you know, there's this early despair and kind of like, well, what are we going to do? We have all these scholarships and everything like that. Well, Ryan Odom's done a fantastic job. When he's able to bring over two of the better players from Utah State and Shulga and Bearstow, and then when he's able to see a guy like Jason Nelson go from Richmond to VCU, you don't see that sort of thing ever happen. You do not see a guy from a rival school go over to the other side in the same conference, and then you see the other 804 connections. Joe Bamisiel going from Oklahoma to VCU, Roosevelt Wheeler going from Louisville to VCU, and then the recent addition of Kwaney Kwaney from California. I think VCU's potentially going to be really good. Now, look, you bring all these guys in, there's going to be some grace period. There's going to be some time where you're like, well, we got to grow together. And I'll be interested to see how VCU lays their non-conference schedule out, because last year they scheduled a little light non-conference and nearly missed the tournament because they were on the bubble because of it. So I'll be interested to see. I don't know what to make of the A-10 this year. So VCU early on is going to go through some struggles potentially, but they're going to be a really dangerous team if everybody comes together.
And I do think that that's a big key with it as well, because we have seen things go so right with these teams that they are sort of overhauled. You have a first-year head coach. More notably, those schools in the Big 12 in recent years, like Iowa State, went from winning two games during the 2020-21 season, and both of those games were against WAC opponents, to winning two games in the NCAA tournament. That's a very extreme example, but we saw it last year with Kansas State. They obviously bring in just a whole bunch of new guys. They bring in a new coach. All of a sudden, they find themselves in the Elite Eight. But we also see the opposite of that. Like LSU went completely down the toilet bowl towards the second half of the season as well. How do you gauge some of these teams in terms of the chemistry itself? Because I feel like a team like VCU might be a team that might be worth fading a little bit towards the beginning part of the season. But if they're able to show signs that they're starting to click together, they could be a really good bet on team when it comes to February and March.
Well, I think the early practices are very important, because you've got the two kids from Utah State who are very familiar with Coach Odom's system. And then you've got the three 804 kids together who played on Team Loaded back in high school and middle school. So you've got some connections there, and you've got the holdover VCU players who stayed there, which were much appreciated. But I think it's going to be early on. How much can the two Utah State kids teach everybody else? How much is Ryan Odom going to do in practice? And how are they going to look in these exhibition games when they play against teams from lower levels? As I said before, VCU has been in the past good at non-conference scheduling. This is where it's very important. You might want to start with one or two layups. By the way, they're going to be playing in that Orlando tournament. I believe it's the ESPN Invitational with Penn State, with Virginia Tech. There's going to be some good teams there. Can they get everybody ready for an MTE like that, for a tournament like that, where they might be able to pick up a win or two and build a non-conference resume? Because once again, I don't know how good the A-10 is going to be this year. So I think teams are going to have to get those non-conference victories if they want to potentially put themselves in a position to not win the A-10, but also keep themselves in it for March.
Absolutely. As Matt Josephs, better known as Ben Major Matt, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And you bring up something very interesting, because if they do play against Penn State, I think that that would be a very, very fun matchup for all involved. I'm sure that the fans would absolutely love that. But how do you take a look at Penn State? As we know, it is Coach Rhodes who goes over from VCU to Penn State. And you mentioned it, he brings over a few guys from VCU, much like Ryan Odom is doing that with bringing over a pair of guys from Utah State. And Danny Sprinkle goes from Montana State to Utah State. He's doing the same thing. So it's just this sort of like a trickle-down effect with college basketball. We've been noticing this more and more, but he brings with him Nick Kern Jr., who's a relatively nice role player at VCU. And I think we both agree, really, the lifeblood of VCU the last few years was Ace Baldwin. He was involved in everything, did a great job hitting threes, was able to generate steals, had the ball in his hands a lot. What do you think the outlook is for Penn State? Because they were very successful under Micah Shrewsbury. And with with Penn State, I do think that with bringing over those guys from VCU, they could have immediate success in the Big Ten, just because they play a different style than a lot of those teams in the Big Ten.
Now, the worry is with that, we saw what Shaka did at Texas. We saw early on what Will Wade did at LSU. We saw what Capel did at Oklahoma, some of the other guys that left at VCU beforehand. We saw what Anthony Grant did at Alabama. That's my one worry here, is that sometimes that style doesn't necessarily translate when you go to the new conferences. It certainly could, and as you mentioned, Kern and Baldwin will certainly help out, but Penn State literally had nothing before all this stuff, and you're bringing in guys from all over. I love, as a guy who roots for Temple, I like the Zach Hicks addition. I think Zach Hicks brings some size and brings some shooting ability that I think is going to help. Leo O'Boyle becomes the David Shriver here as he comes over from Lafayette. Puff Johnson's not bad. Wahab for his, I feel like, 17th transfer of his career. The Mitchell kid coming over from UMKC. I really like the pieces, but I think Coach Rhodes is going to have a little bit more of an issue than maybe a Odom will, because there's just so many kids coming from so many different directions, and you're playing in a Power 5 conference. And remember, you know, the Big Ten does that thing where they have one or two conference games in December, so there's some early opportunities. And if this team's not gelling, Penn State could start 0-2 if they get the wrong two opponents early on. So I think Mike Rhodes is going to have a little bit of a bigger issue than maybe a Ryan Odom, but I think eventually Mike Rhodes is going to do a fine job. It's just, how long will it take to get everybody together?
Yep, and I do think that that is so interesting to take a look at, because when we see a school play a little bit of a different style than what you're accustomed to seeing, because there's obviously a very distinct style in the Big Ten. It's very slow. You play through that big man, and or your Wisconsin, who just plays about as eyesore of basketball as humanly possible. As we know, out there in a conference like the Southland, for example, it's all about being able to generate steals, playing up and down. You play super-duper up-tempo, and then I'm sure that you know about this one when it comes to a mid-major level, the Rising League. It's all about shooting threes and playing absolutely no defense whatsoever. When you see a team, like perhaps a Penn State might do, where they zag while everyone else zigs, I think that that's always something to take a look at as well, because it feels like teams that try to play a little bit of a different style than everyone else in the conference, it goes one of two ways. It's either very successful, like we've seen with Virginia with their pack line defense in the ACC for many years, or it goes horribly wrong, like the Citadel and the SoCon for so many years.
Right, and yeah, and I'm looking at Shaka right now. When he leaves VCU, that first year at Texas, he makes the tournament but loses in the first round. Then he goes 11-22, and then he makes the NCAA tournament again and loses in the first round before becoming the NIT champion. And I think, you know, it's going to take some time. VCU style with the havoc and the pressing and being up in your face and everything like that, like, there are some teams that are built for that sort of thing, and there are some teams that are not. There are some conferences where playing that way is certainly better than not playing that way. The Big Ten has that, you know, plodding teams. There aren't that many speed demons. I don't think there's really any speed demons in the Big Ten. So that could be the place that Penn State works. But as you said, it could also not work, frustrate the players, start Penn State in a downward spiral. And by the way, Penn State's still a football school. So like, okay, what happens? Penn State then goes to slightly less relevant on its own campus. And then Mike Rhodes is getting the frustration of you're not winning. And now the kids in the and there's the less interest in your basketball team. So we'll see how this style works. But in the Big Ten, as you mentioned, with everybody being slow, going a different direction, it's either going to be really good or potentially really bad.
If there is one team that plays a bit more up-tempo in the Big Ten, it's Iowa, but they also play absolutely no defense whatsoever, and that always seems to nip them in the butt when it comes to the month of March. It's the way that Iowa has just never been able to make the Sweet 16 under that current coaching regime. Good old Fran McCaffrey seems to always get them a good seed, and they never seem to be able to bust through. So I always think that that's interesting to take a look at, as Matt Joseph, better known as Mid-Major Matt, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Matt, as we know, there's been a lot of movement thus far in the college basketball transfer portal period, but how much are you taking a look at these NBA draft decisions? Because I think that from now until about May 30th, May 31st, when these guys make these decisions over the next 2 weeks, this almost feels like a little bit of a holding pattern in college basketball before we get that second wave, because I do think these big decisions, like an Arthur Kaluma over at Creighton, a Julian Phillips from Tennessee, you're able to go down the list. I think that these are going to be big impact guys, and I know that there are quite a few big-time schools that are holding on a scholarship or two, whether that be to try to maybe pick up one of these guys that decides to withdraw from the NBA draft, or to hold on to that in case if, say, for Tennessee, Julian Phillips decides that he's going to be returning to the Volunteers. So I do think that there's going to be a lot of action that happens in about 2 or so weeks. And right now, we're just sort of seeing more of the middle of the road moves being happened in the meantime.
Yeah, and I'll go to two of the situations that I'm really interested in. Obviously, the Syracuse Orange have had a really good offseason so far, adding Westry and adding J.J. Starling and then just getting Naheem McLeod. If Judah Mintz comes back, they're going to be able to roll almost two teams worth, which is crazy because Coach Boeheim would never play that many players. He would only go with six or seven and drive me nuts as an alum there. But I think Judah Mintz coming back gives them an opportunity to move J.J. Starling off the ball and allows him to kind of be able to be a fellow creator with Judah Mintz. Now, a lot of the mock drafts do not have him getting drafted or have him getting drafted late in the second round. Now, the NIL situation at Syracuse obviously is a little bit different. Their chancellor, for some reason, has decided to kind of call out the guy who's their NIL guy and tell him to stay away from the program, which is never very good. And then for Gonzaga, you know, Anton Watson was such a glue guy for that team last year and was such a guy that could do whatever you need him to, score points, rebounds, be a leader on that team. Him and Malachi Smith, if they both come back to Gonzaga, considering what the Zags added this offseason, I think that's a really big thing. Now, a lot of people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, okay, so the Zags are going to lose in the Sweet 16 again. But, like, you need that leadership there, and Anton Watson's that guy who's going to be able to help out the other big men on that campus. And then you have a Malachi Smith, who was arguably their best guard last year, or one of their best guards with Julian Strother. Bringing him back will then help everybody else and kind of give them the depth that they need. So, yeah, you're right. The decisions are very important, and I think Judah Mintz, Anton Watson, and Malachi Smith are three very important players to their respective programs.
And let me tell you, for all the people that like to poop on Gonzaga, there's a lot of power programs I wish they could consistently make the Sweet 16 year in and year out. I mean, heck, North Carolina has not been able to advance to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament 2 out of the last 3 seasons. So, I mean, there has been a lot of success there, and I completely agree with you on all of those decisions as well. And in terms of some of the moves that we have seen, have there been any teams that really caught your eye in terms of the futures market, whether you might be taking a look at them maybe a little bit later on during the offseason, or maybe there was a move that you were expecting they made it and you felt like you got some good value on a future thus far?
Well, I mean, obviously Kansas comes into play with Hunter Dickinson. They now have the center that they didn't have this past season. And we know how, you know, Coach Self kind of makes centers happen. And look, people already don't like Kansas, and Hunter Dickinson has become somewhat of a heel in the market as well. I would say, you know, as much as it pains me to say, because I'm not a fan of this team, Villanova becomes a little bit of an interesting product because of what they brought in. You know, Villanova obviously has hasn't dipped as much in the transfer portal, but getting a TJ Bamba and getting a Hakeem Hart and not really losing anything other than Cam Whitmore. I think Kyle Neptune had a little bit of an issue just kind of overcoming the Jay Wright shadow last year. And if he proves himself to be a better coach, I think there's some value there for Villanova. Another team that's going to be interesting, and you know, we talk about this team and how they struggled to score in the season. When you look at what Virginia brings in from a Jordan Miner from Merrimack and Andrew Rohde from St. Thomas, two guys who perform really well in their respective levels, if they can take the leap and provide some offense to a team that we know the defense is going to be there, but can they score? Dante Harris, don't forget him. He came over in December and was able to, you know, be with the team a little bit. He is nothing but scoring, it feels like. So I think Virginia presents some value. Now, obviously, I can't bet on it in the state of Virginia because we're not allowed to touch the state of Virginia teams in here. But I think Virginia could be interesting if some of these other guys, Jacob Groves, provides the scoring punch that they desperately needed to go with that really good defense.
Yep, I do think that Virginia is going to be able to do a rock solid job in an ACC that everyone's talking about Duke, everyone's talking about North Carolina. And I do think that was very interesting. Speaking of North Carolina, he no longer plays for the school, but Caleb Love, just before we came on this podcast, decided to decommit from Michigan. So that makes things very fascinating, to say the least, but I do agree with you. I do think that the ACC is going to have some good top flight talent. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Matt Joseph, better known as Mid-Major Matt. And Matt, have there been any teams that have been a little bit more under the radar that you haven't taken a look at? But probably teams that, I mean, when it comes to the mid-major level, you're not firing in on them to be able to win the national title or anything like that. But have there been a few schools that you look around and you say, yeah, you know what? I think that there might be a little bit of value on them. Just take a look at perhaps a conference prop on them, take a look at them to just be able to win some games, be able to have a little bit of value early on during the season.
By the way, real quick, the North Carolina thing. I mean, North Carolina started out the transfer portal very underwhelming with some of their pickups. And I think that, you know, the Harrison Ingram thing, certainly he's their best player that they got. Cormac Ryan, I think, will fit some things. But when you bring over a guy who averaged single digits for one of the worst Power 5 schools at Louisville, that's going to be underwhelming for North Carolina, a team that, you know, didn't make the NCAA tournament. I think UC Santa Barbara, what UC Santa Barbara was able to do and bring in a Traore from Auburn and to bring a Clements over from Kansas, they're not exactly huge losses for their respective programs. But remember, in that conference, UC Santa Barbara is going to be able to do some things, I think. And certainly, as we talk about, I think everybody kind of focuses on the high majors and they all focus on what's happening with those schools. And as we just talked about, when you've got these mid-majors kind of reshuffling a little bit, you're going to see some people that are very interesting. Louisiana Tech had some interesting pickups. Abacho from Texas Tech, you know, some of these other guys that were able to. Now, obviously, they lost some kids to Tulsa because of the Eric Conkle connection there, but maybe a Louisiana Tech could be a little bit interesting early on, and certainly a UC Santa Barbara who was able to add some solid players so far in the transfer portal.
Absolutely. I do think that UC Santa Barbara has been able to do a solid job thus far this offseason, bringing in some nice pieces. I'm so glad that you mentioned Traore. I think that he's going to be able to do a great job down low. And Matt, as we know, things are never dull with regards to college basketball. It has become a 12-month-a-year sport. I know you do a great job of covering that, and you do a great job covering so many things. I know that you're doing great work over there for the ESPN radio affiliate in Richmond. I know that you do a lot of previews when it comes to college football over at Athlon Sports. You do a nice job when it comes to MLB props and so much more. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, at Mid-Major Matt on Twitter, as you said, you know, this may seem like a slow period, but it certainly is not. It's never too early to start doing your college football research. Athlon, I think, just announced that their college football magazine's coming out on Tuesday, so that's always good. You got Phil Steele and everything. And it never hurts to do your research now, because when you get closer and you start doing your research and you're like, oh man, this guy's on this team, and then you got to start doing research with what he did in his old team and everything. So it's a 24/7, 365 thing, whether it's college basketball, college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, whatever it is. Follow me on Twitter at Mid-Major Matt. I love talking to anybody who wants to help, because as I always say, we all have the same goal. We all want to beat the books, and whatever it is, whether it's props, first fives in baseball, whatever it is, a win total for a random team in the Sun Belt for college football, I could certainly try and help. So just follow me on Twitter at Mid-Major Matt.
And Matt does an absolutely tremendous job on so many fronts: college football, college basketball, the NFL, MLB, list goes on. And every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insights, much like he did today. So big thanks to Matt Josephs, better known as Mid-Major Matt, for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letter CM, me does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Hopefully we can get a little bit more clarity with these draft decisions and the transfer portal moves in the next few days, so that way we can start up conference previews in about 2 to 3 weeks or so. Typically, I start these up late May, early June. Might need to wait a little bit more because it has been a rambunctious offseason, but that's on the horizon, and what is on the horizon is another show because I'll be with you guys every single day, rain or shine, regular season or offseason, as once we get in season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day in the offseason, preparing to make those picks. So I'll be talking at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.